Dear ones, for the afternoon's meditation in our reading, let's turn with God's help to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. I'd like to begin with verse 57 to the end. Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, beginning with 57 to the end. Evangelie po Luci, prva glava, od 57. broj do kraja. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zacharias after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, "Not so, but he shall be called John." And they said unto her, "There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name." And they made signs to his father how he would have him called. And he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, "His name is John." And they marveled all. And his mouth was opened immediately, and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, "What manner of child shall this be?" And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us, that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. May God bless our reading, and let us kneel before our Lord in prayer. We had recently in one of the sermons, a brother quoted from the book of Revelation, and I mentioned the verse, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still." And then come the words, "He that is holy, let him be holy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still." And it is on those words that I thought of. Christ said, and he puts that together, holiness and righteousness. He that is holy, he that is righteous will be that way when the consummation of this age takes place. He that is holy will be holy, and righteous, righteous. And so what is righteousness? What is holiness? What is the thought that the Lord is impressing upon us as he teaches us his way? And there's several chapters throughout the Bible that speak of holiness and righteousness. And this afternoon I came to this chapter because it really speaks of that. And it is in the coming of our Lord, as we see the birth, as we have read, the birth of John the Baptist. Jesus is his coming, but for here, we see the prophecy of Zacharias and what he says. And we have to consider that the people came together as Elizabeth was ready to give birth. And they came together, and Zacharias, we know, is now, he is dumb. He cannot speak because he doubted the Lord. And because of that doubt, he couldn't speak anymore. For the entire period of the pregnancy, he couldn't speak. That's a long time to not be able to express yourself. You have to do it through a writing instrument. And so because of his doubt, he couldn't speak. But we see that through that time, God spoke to him. God taught him great lessons. And it shows us that the chastening rod of God, that though it brings about pain for a season, it brings about a healing and a joy. And we see that the first words out of the mouth of Zacharias, one who went dumb because he doubted, he is now praising God as soon as he's able to speak again. It's the first thing he does is he praises God. God had taught him a lesson. This is a priest who was waiting for the Messiah. We know that Anna and Simeon were waiting for the Messiah, the promise. God didn't speak to the nation anymore. It's been hundreds of years since the last of the prophets had spoken directly. And now God is silent, and the people are longing to hear from him. They're longing for this Messiah that is promised. And they're waiting. And so as we come to this chapter here, I'd like to really just focus on the song of Zacharias, of what he says. As he speaks of the Messiah and what he will bring and what he brings. And it tells us that in verse number 74, it says, he's speaking of the child that will come, the Messiah that will come, the Savior. He says that he is coming. He says that he would grant unto us, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. The purpose of his coming is to save us from our enemies. That's his purpose. And then, in that salvation from the enemies, from Satan, is our greatest enemy, our only enemy, because he works through every means possible to attack us. So he is our enemy. And so that we can, without fear of Satan, be delivered, and to serve him without fear. It says, and how? Now he says, how are we to serve him? It says, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. There's those two words. Let him that is holy, let him that is righteous be righteous and holy still. Jesus came so that we would be delivered from the grip of Satan and to be able to serve our Lord in holiness and righteousness all the days of our life. Not 10 years, not 50 years, but every day that the Lord grants us, that we serve him in holiness and righteousness. And so we have to ask ourselves, what is holiness? What is righteousness? Because that is the only way that we can serve him. Without holiness, without righteousness, actually in Hebrews it tells us that without holiness, no man will see the Lord. If you don't have holiness, you won't see him. And we like to say, well, Am I holy? Well, I would never want to address myself as holy, but Paul doesn't hesitate. He says in chapter 3, wherefore, holy brethren, and how are you holy? Because you're a partaker of a heavenly calling. And so he considers us holy. The church is holy. And so I have to serve him in holiness and uprightness. And so when we consider what is holiness, what does that consist of? We have to look at God. God is holy. That's what the heavens are ringing out, right? They're ringing out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Yet throughout Scripture, we see that God is love. God is mercy. It never ends. His mercy is new every day. But he calls us to holiness. And the heavens are ringing unceasingly. It never stops. The angels continue to cry and to worship the Lord, holy, holy, holy. And we are, and Jesus came to this earth so that we might be able to serve him in holiness. So now, what is the Christian religion? What is it? What does it mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian does not mean, and to be a part of a Christian religion does not mean that I can sin and be forgiven. Now, I can go and sin and be forgiven. All is well. That's not what Jesus came for. He came to deliver us from our enemy. And he gives us the ability to serve and be holy. And so, if we look at John chapter 1, in the gospel, it says, the Word, which in the beginning we read, the Word was beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we drop the chapter or verse 14. It says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So this is speaking of the incarnation or the birth of Christ. So the Word was made flesh because the Word is Christ. He established that in the first verse. And so he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. And it tells us he was full of grace and truth. And so if we want to understand what is holiness, what does it mean for God is holy? How would we ever know God or what holy means if we weren't shown who God is through Jesus Christ? So when we look upon Jesus Christ, we see the Father. That's what Jesus says. And so we have to look at his life, and we will see a picture, vivid picture, vivid example of what holiness is. And we are told to be holy. Jesus came full of grace and truth. Grace is love and mercy in action. But its underlying principle is truth. He's full of grace and truth. Those are inseparable. You cannot separate grace and truth. You cannot separate holiness and righteousness. You can't be righteous and not be holy. You can't do that. It's one. Because righteousness is that which flows from a man in his conduct, which is governed by his character, which is made holy through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Bible, Jesus tells us that Satan is a murderer and a liar. Jesus is grace and truth. They're absolute exact opposites. Grace is love and life. Murder is hatred and death. Truth, we know what truth is. Satan is a liar. It's an absolute opposite of grace and truth is the murderer, the one who hates and who lies. Those are his ways. And the ways of Christ are love, mercy, compassion, governed by truth. And so we would have to, if we try to understand what is holy, it is the picture that is vividly portrayed and given to us in the scripture of Jesus Christ coming in grace and truth. A life that was governed, the underlying principle of his life was that of truth. And from that truth flowed grace. And brothers and sisters and dear friends, from our life, righteousness must come from the character of who we are, just as God operates out of the character of who he is. He is holy. And so everything that he does comes from that character of holiness, and everything he does is right. It's perfect altogether. And the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians 4:23, he talks about what you have come out of. He said, you haven't learned Christ that way. And he talks about all the filthiness of living outside of Christ. He said, you haven't learned, you have not so learned Christ. But if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, the old way of life, the way of the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And so we know Paul also says to the Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So he says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which is after God, okay? So the new man is after God. This is the divine nature now. Is created, how? In righteousness and true holiness. Again, the new man is holy, or he will never see God. So if we examine and look into our lives, can I say I am holy and righteous? Have I been delivered from my enemy? Do I live a life that is not governed by a character of holiness? Because what I do is always right. So we every day and I remember a brother said this to me once. He said, we make thousands of decisions every day. And I never really thought about that. But in all of those decisions, we have a will. And we make a decision of what path we will go. Well, if we look at our daily life, and when we make a decision, we are at a crossroads, right? We're at a crossroads. And so this is where, from the character of one who is holy, as something is put in front of me, I am asked to, and not even to think about it, from my character, I will judge and do that which is right. I don't have to say, man, I really want that, but I'm not allowed. Oh, if I wasn't a Christian, I would do that. I wish that God wasn't so demanding. Well, I'm trying to earn my salvation by doing something that isn't flowing from who I am. So When we say that we have victory over sin, when we say that, or we ask a convert, do you have victory over sin? That means that when you are approached by the devil, now you have before you a thought that has come by a sight that you see. You have a choice to make. From your character, one that has been renewed. How is it renewed? It can only be renewed by the searching through the scripture to understand and receive the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's the only way that our mind can be transformed is by knowing who he is. Jesus says, walk with me, follow me. And why? So you can learn about me. How will we know him if we don't follow him? How will we know him if we don't search him out? Where will we find him other than through the revealed word? Zacharias and those around him were waiting, hungry to hear from God. And in the preceding verses, when an angel comes to Mary and she's questioning, well, how can this be? Saying, I don't know a man. How can I give birth to a child? And he says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. And this is something that we all receive, brothers and sisters. Listen to this. The Holy Ghost will come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Emmanuel comes to mind, God with us. But the Holy Ghost will come upon you, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. If I am at a crossroads, and I know sin is lying at the door, and I know that I am a Christian, and I know that God is full of grace, but I leave out truth, I'm going to sin. I'm going to sin because God is a God of love and mercy. And so by doing that, I say I can be a Christian and live in sin. Jesus, I thought so little of Jesus' redemptive work on the cross, shedding his blood for me, dying for me, taking my sin upon him. I think of that as I can go to sin because he died for me. He's going to forgive me. That's called willful sinning. So there's no victory over sin. The victory comes when, let's say I am undermined in some way by someone. And I feel slighted. The reaction, when I allow the reaction to come forth, rather than a man who is born again, when he is slighted, he doesn't respond angrily, because that's coming from a character that is unholy. So when I respond as Jesus responded. The Holy Ghost descended upon Stephen. The power of the highest was upon him. And so when his enemies were stoning him, was he slighted? He was more than slighted. He was beaten. When Paul was beaten, when all those things were done to him, the power of the highest was upon him. The new man that was in him was operating, and from that character flowed, forgive them, Father, for they don't know not what they do. Where did Stephen learn that from? It didn't come from his nature. It came from the divine nature that he learned and was transformed by Jesus Christ coming to deliver Stephen from the power of Satan and from the anger and from the feeling of being less than someone. Those things are gone. What do? We feel sorry for someone and we pray for them. That's a life that is born again. Don't discount it, brothers and sisters. Let's not bring it down to my level where I can operate that way under the umbrella of grace and dismiss holiness and righteousness. That means I'm filthy, and I'm going to remain filthy. I'm unjust, and I'm going to remain unjust. Jesus is calling us to something far above that, to heights that we can't learn outside of knowing who he is. And then when we know him, brothers and sisters, do you not love him? And the only reason my love would be waning, as the church, who was it? The church in Ephesus, was it, that said, I have something against you. You left your first love. What does that mean? They left Christ. A church left Christ. You left your first love. The first love is Jesus, my Lord. I left him. When I leave him, of course I'm going to be governed by everything that is unjust and filthy. All those things, responses will come from me. You slighted me. You made me angry. You. It's everything you, nothing about me. Because when we are convicted, there is a demand. By that conviction, God has spoken to me. God has spoken, and he convicted me. Now, what do I say? Well, that's just how God made me. I have a fiery temper. You know, this person is so easygoing, so gentle. He never gets angry. I wish I was like that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Don't lie to yourself. No, you don't. Because if you did, you could. How? Go to the cross. The worst place that a man wants to go. And to die. And be transformed. And the new man that is created, as Paul says, created in holiness and righteousness and truth. What a calling we are called to, brothers and sisters. What a way of life that will take away all the squabbles that go on. Jesus says, love one another. Love one another. You know, think about yourself. Let's think about ourselves. If I am far away from a brother or a sister, I'm far away. It's because one of us isn't at the cross. I have to come back to Jesus. And when I am with Jesus, I have no qualms with anyone. Because follow peace with all men and holiness is what Paul said to the Hebrews. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You have peace with all men? No, because, you know, he did this, you won't see the Lord. That's what the Bible said. So it's time that we would listen to the Spirit, the power of the highest, who is overshadowing us, so that we would yield to him and to his Spirit. And he says, Mary, as she magnifies the Lord, she says, he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. Can you and I testify that God has done great things in my life? What are they? I'm born again. And the evidence of that has to be a life that is holy and righteous. Be ye holy as I am holy. God is calling us to that. The only way we learn of him, he's full of grace and truth. Nothing can be done. Nothing of our actions can be done dismissing at the expense of truth. Because it is a lie. and it is governed by Satan then, or taught by him. And so Jesus came to save us from our enemy and to give us a life of victory over ourselves, over sin, over temptations, to, yes, have victory. Have victory. So that as I go through my life, I need his grace. I need his mercy. I need his love. I need his forgiveness. But I'm not intentionally going into sin knowing that I can still repent and come back. That's willful sin. It's through our life, any thought that takes me away from the holy presence of God. Think about being in his presence. Holy, holy, holy. We would know what sin is there because we wouldn't be there. We would be banished immediately. And so, dear ones, it is my prayer that as we consider why Jesus came, it is not to save us in our sin, it's to save us from a life of sin. And it's to elevate us and to grant unto us a life that is made new, the character of which is holy, and that which flows from us, our deeds, our actions, is righteousness. Not because of me, because of he who lives in me. It's because God lives in me. He is holy. He is inside of me. He is my light. He is my life. Christ in me. That was Paul's favorite term. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.